Now, words of exhortation from our brother Nick. He titled his exhortation, "The Man of Exhortation."
Thanks, Brother Marco. Good morning, brothers and sisters. So last week, after the memorial meeting, we had a special meeting of the ecclesia to discuss the ecclesial priorities. And I think although I didn't say a lot during that meeting, I sort of sat and listened and worked the electronics at the back, but the discussions that we had around creating a vibrant ecclesia and making the ecclesia a place where people want to be and a place where the God's name is upheld and is a place of worship of our God. And I think that's a perfect aspiration for ecclesia to have. And I think personally that the ecclesia has a lot of elements of vibrance in it already. There's a lot of love and a lot of things that this ecclesia does that I'm happy to be a part of. And but it's something that is important that we want to grow in that. It's not something that we've reached, we've achieved. We want to continue in building our ecclesia and making it stronger and making it a better place. And I think that's a really good aspiration of this ecclesia. So hopefully my exhortation this morning is encouragement to doing that. So the title of the exhortation this morning, "The Man of Exhortation." Now I've taken that from Acts, the readings that we're currently going through in Acts. And if we have a look in Acts chapter 4, and we go to the end of Acts chapter 4, we see in verse 36, the man Barnabas. Okay, in verse 36, and Joseph, the Josephus, he's also called Joseph in the ESV and many other translations, but that's okay, who was by the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted the son of consolation. That's the King James Version, the ESV, and many other translations call him the son of encouragement. And if we look at the word consolation, or that word in a concordance, and we look at the way that that word is translated in many other passages through the scripture, it's translated exhortation, comfort, entreaty, and consolation. And we see from the ESV and other versions that it's in translated encouragement. And I like the word exhortation because if you Google what exhortation means, it's an address or communication emphatically urging someone to do something. Okay, it has an element of strength about it, something that is urgent and needs to be done. And so it's an exhortation. So Barnabas was a man who was nicknamed that by the apostles. So obviously he was a man that lived up to that name, or they wouldn't have changed his name from Joseph or Joseph to Barnabas. And that became the name that stuck for him throughout the scriptures. And the very first act we see that Barnabas does in verse 37 there in chapter 4, having sold land, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And that's a very generous thing that he's done there. And we see many other people in that ecclesia, in that time, that sold their possessions and gave to the ecclesia. In fact, it says further up in the chapter, in verse 34, It says there was not a needy person among them in that ecclesia at that time. So if we're looking for a vibrant ecclesia, I think this is a great example of an ecclesia that was vibrant or that had others in mind and that really came together as a group of believers. And so this is a golden time, I think, in the history of ecclesias as we move through the ages. Not that that ecclesia wasn't without its troubles. Okay, if we go to the very next chapter, we see Ananias and Sapphira. And there were people in there that weren't necessarily there for the right reasons, or they had other motives in their mind. And so ecclesias always have things that will niggle and things that need to be improved. And I think this is something that that we can also take some heed from. So throughout the chapters, and I'll move through the chapters fairly quickly now, we see a period of growth, and there's periods there where, you know, thousands were added to the ecclesia daily and all of that. And there's the other instances of challenges, imprisonment, and the Pharisees coming in and stirring up trouble with them. But ultimately, the ecclesia kept growing and kept strengthening itself until we get to chapter 9. And in chapter 9, we have, we had the death of the death of Stephen in chapter 7, sorry, and then in chapter 9, Saul went on his rampage and decided to go to Damascus, where he was converted, where he saw the light and was converted by Jesus. And he turned his life around. He started to believe, and he had to escape out of Damascus into, you know, looked down by the wall in a basket and got away and came down to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem there, clearly he wasn't very popular. Okay, so if we go to chapter 9 and verse 26, and when Saul came to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Okay, so people weren't particularly happy having Saul come back into the ecclesia. And you can imagine that being a sore point for any ecclesia. Most people would have had somebody that either died or was persecuted or something that they knew from that time. And that's difficult for anyone to overcome. But this is where we see Barnabas for the second time in this record. So in verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken, and how boldly he preached in Damascus the name of Jesus. So here we see Barnabas, a man that's, I think he's able to lay aside all of the challenges. FedEx, okay, cutting through the driveway. Sorry, that was a FedEx truck. Clearly a man that was able to put aside any prejudice that he may have had from his own personal experience or from other people, and he saw Saul at the time, for who he was, and that he was able to accept that he changed, and he was able to bring him to the apostles and encourage them to accept him. And so there Barnabas is exhorting the acceptance of Saul, which the ecclesia did, and they did accept him, but ultimately it wasn't time for Paul to stay around. And in verse 30, we see that Paul, or Saul, is sent away to Tarsus, and which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Saul, it's not time for you here now. We need a time of healing, and sent him off to Tarsus. And the time of healing, it's interesting the way this passage is written. The next two sections, we've got a section where Peter heals in Lydda, and then we've got is it Peter's mother-in-law, Dorcas being raised from the dead. Okay, it's a time of healing for the ecclesia. You know, Saul was sent away, and the ecclesia was seemed like it was back in a little bit of peace and a bit of security, and there was healing. And healing takes time, and it needed that time just to rebuild the bonds with each other and heal as time went on. But that wasn't the final thing. The ecclesia didn't get back to its full vibrancy right then. And there was more changes that had to happen in the ecclesia. And we see that coming up in chapter 10, where Peter was sent the messengers and the visions from God about the incorporation of the Gentiles into the ecclesia. And that was something that was quite a challenging thing for many people in the ecclesia as well. And they weren't completely sure that that was the right thing to happen. And so that sort of thing takes time. And as I think about what happens here, if we look through chapter 10 and we go to chapter 11, where we read this morning, thanks, Mike, and we go down to verse 19, and we see this is after Peter describing to the Jews what he'd seen and what happened and why he went to the Gentiles and why he baptized Cornelius and all the family, and the ecclesia's going, wow, okay, well, you know, this must be the way. But it still hadn't sunk in with everyone, and I think this is where we need to take some thoughts and some consideration that changes like this take some time to work. So verse 19, now when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose out of Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but only the Jews. So even though Peter had just described all of this stuff, he was, you know, the people still went abroad, and they went abroad, but they're only preaching just to the Jews. And then it says in verse 20, and some that were out of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they had come to Antioch, spake to the Grecians, preaching Jesus. So there were some that had picked it up and said, okay, well, you know, we can teach the Grecians as well. And that took some thinking about as well. And it's a little lost in my notes at the moment, sorry. and so we see that the tidings, verse 22, that tidings of these things came to the ears of the ecclesia that was in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas so that he should go as far as Antioch. So if anybody was going to accept the change and accept these things, who were they going to send? The man of exhortation, the man Barnabas. And so Barnabas went up there to Antioch. So before we go into that, I'd just like to, you know, give a little thought that I've had, that something that came out of a memory of ours from an ecclesia from a long time ago. I think it was before, when Keturah was maybe one, or just before she was born. But the ecclesia we were in at the time was attempting to make some changes in the Sunday school. And they had maybe six or seven different things they wanted to change all at once. And there were a lot of people that didn't want the change or that didn't see the value in the change. And it caused a big stir up in the ecclesia. And some people left, they went to a different ecclesia because that ecclesia ran their Sunday school how they wanted to run it. And the ecclesia was being divided amongst just these changes that wanted to happen. And at the end of a meeting that, you know, was a special meeting that was gathered together to discuss the changes, one of the most elderly of the ecclesia, he sat through the whole meeting. And at the end, he stood up and said, I'm not going to say who's right or who's wrong. And I think that the changes that are in place are changes that you might want to consider. However, it's in his experience, change takes time. And if you want to make change is something that you do slowly. You introduce one change at a time and let everybody get used to it. And then everybody can see the benefits of it. And if it doesn't work, then you can change it back. Just take changes slowly. And I think that, and he said, the problems that we're facing here is that some major changes were attempting to happen all at once. And so his encouragement to the ecclesia at the time was to take things slowly. Don't try to implement an entire sweeping change all at once, and give the ecclesia some time to get used to changes. And I think that was some wise advice from that brother. And he wasn't taking sides in the arguments or the discussions, but what he was saying was that things can take time to change and to bring everybody around to see the benefits of things that are happening. So that's just some advice from my experience back when we were in another ecclesia, that if you need to change things, that's okay, but do it slowly and considerately, and not big changes all at once. And I think we see that here in the time of the apostles and the Acts here, that there were changes. Peter went to the Gentiles. He came back and everyone was like, oh, we're not sure about this, but we'll get used to it. And then people went out spreading the word and they only talked to the Jews, but then some went and talked to the Gentiles. And, oh, we're not sure about this. Let's send Barnabas to go and see what's going on. And Barnabas went up there into Antioch. And when he saw what was happening, and this is some great things, and this is where his exhortation comes in. And when the title of this thing, so verse 33, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with what that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So he exhorted them that they would with purpose and with their hearts stay in the truth and continue to do what they're doing with a purpose of heart, that they would cleave to the Lord. So we can see that Barnabas was a man that was able to accept change and to quickly assess a situation. And as he did with Saul, he was able to set aside his prejudices there and bring Saul into the ecclesia. He acted on his beliefs. He was able to, you know, give his field to the ecclesia, and he was able to speak clearly to the people. In verse 24, it says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Much people was added to the Lord." And so there we've got Barnabas's influence there in the ecclesia. He was a stabilizing sort of influence that was able to say, this is a good thing, keep your calm, and we'll continue this. Let's make it work and let's bring in more people and continue to work on the ecclesia. And The next little passage in here, once he got that started, Barnabas then saw that it was time to bring Saul back. And he saw this was the perfect opportunity for a man like Saul to come back in. And so he went off in verse 25. And so he departed to Tarsus to seek for Saul. So off he went and found Saul and brought Saul back to Antioch. And there in Antioch, he spent a whole year with the ecclesia there. And so it wasn't a quick trip that Barnabas did up to Antioch to talk to the people and then come back again. He went up there and spent a whole year, and he went off and found Saul and brought him back and spent more time with that ecclesia building it up. And here, I think at the end of this little passage here in verse 29, we see the building of that another vibrant ecclesia here in Antioch. It says that there was a prophet in verse 28 who had spoke of the famine that was coming in the land of Judea. And in verse 29, the disciples, according to every man's ability, determined to send relief to the brethren that dwelt in Judea. So these people, they weren't just focused on their own lives. They went and turned around and, according to their ability, just shared their wealth with another ecclesia that was in need. And I think that's another example of a vibrant ecclesia there in Antioch. So there's much more that we could draw from the life of Barnabas. This is just the first three sort of instances we see Barnabas in the Bible. We know that he went off with Paul and did missionary work with Paul, and that he did he chose John Mark over going off with Paul. And I think that's another interesting way of seeing Barnabas. He also had the falling out with Paul. He sided with Peter there at one stage, and Paul pulled him up in Galatians. But that aside, these three little parts of Barnabas's life, I think we can draw some encouragement from. And I think if Barnabas was here to come and speak to us here at SFP, I think he would give similar advice as to what he gave the Antioch Ecclesia, to remain faithful in the Lord with a steadfast purpose. That's from the ESV, I think I got that translation. I think it encouraged us to keep improving, and I think he would encourage us to work on all the ideas that we have together according to everyone's ability. And I think we would be encouraged to not stop trying to build each other up until our Lord returns.